Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if Gaudi Pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
On today's Part of My Take, week 18, we finish off the regular season. The playoff picture is set. We're going to recap every game. Some of them maybe will go a little quicker because they don't have any implications on anything. We'll do fastest 2 minutes. We have Football Guy of the Week. We have Who's Back of the Week. We have a great show for you on a Monday after the finale of the regular season in the NFL. So sad. Okay, we were brought to you by our friend.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by 3chi.com. Go to 3chi.com, use code Part of My Take right now, and you get 5% off your purchase. Today is Monday, January 10th, week 18. What? What? We starting Duval. I started early. We start in Duval, where the stands were filled with clowns, but the biggest bozo of the day was Frank Reich. Arson Wentz lit the Colts' season on fire and hung around long enough to watch the franchise burn. Trevor Jennifer Lawrence is starting to look like an A-lister, but don't look up, Jags. No, seriously, you literally can't look up. You clinched the number one pick as per Adam Schefter. Jacksonville is officially on the clock. Please credit Schefter, he had it first. The Jags stun the Colts, keep them out of the playoffs, 26-11.
What? What? In Baltimore, you can throw out the record books when these two teams face off. Benjamin Button Roethlisberger looks like he's aging in reverse as he linked up with Chase Deadpool to revive their careers. Chris, the Wizard of Boswell, followed the yellow kick road to a Steelers playoff berth and a potential Super Bowl run. B.J. Watt continues to be the king of the D as he swallowed up another sack, tying Brett Favre's record. And the Steelers are going to the Yoffs?
Huh?
The Yoffs? Steelers 16, Ravens 13.
In Detroit, where Jared Goff told lazy boy Aaron Rodgers to take a seat, take a billion seats. Famine Raw St. Brown continued to play like a hungry dog as Instagrammin' Raw St. Brown added more memorable moments to his grid. Tom John F. Kennedy took the top off the defense and delivered a magic bullet for a touchdown.
Too soon, Boom.
Don't let the Lions get hot as they finish the season with a big win. They just ran out of time. The Lions, 37. The limping into the playoffs, Packers, 30.
In Los Angeles, where Tim Debo Samuel threw up a prayer for a touchdown to get the Niners back in the playoffs, Juwan Greg Jennings put the whole team on his back, adding two scores. Tyler Eleanor Higby, he just scored twice in a game against Kyle Shanahan. Choke job by the Rams. Then there was Jim G. He really sucked in the first, but then he's still magically healed. Are the Niners for real? Niners, 27. The Rams, 24.
Down to the desert where Rashad, my cousin Penny, painted the Mona Lisa of Vito with 109 yards rushing and a touchdown. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Two touchdowns bring me round to find I'm not the man that they think I at all. Oh, no, no, no. I'm Tyler Lockett, man. Lockett, man, burning up his fuse up here alone. And much like the Challenger, the Cardinals crash and burn their way into the playoffs. 38-30.
In Tampa Bay, where Mike Evans-Bacon got 6 degrees of separation for two touchdowns, Sam Hey Darnold continues to dress up like Stinky Peterson when playing on Sundays as the Bucks locked up Chuba Indian in the Hubbard, making sure he never came to life. Keyshawn Veronica Vaughn is so hot. Want to touch the hiney. What a fine piece of ace. As the Bucks roll into the playoffs with the 2 seed. Bucks 41, the Panthers 17.
In the 305, Jalen Bottle Service started the party off the only way Miami knows how to, dancing in the end zone. Meanwhile, Tic Mac Toe put his ex in the wrong spot when Jones threw a pick six in the first quarter. Three different running backs for the Patriots? That's a bold and strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them. Well, it did. Brandon scored twice. And at least someone named Duke won this weekend as Johnson broke 100 yards and scored a touchdown. Dolphins, 33. Patriots, 24.
Up in Orchard Park, Devin Alda Singletary's had 2 scores as the team of Destiny's Child loves Buffalo so much they want to put a Super Bowl ring on it. Robert Saleh, my name, was crazy in love with Wilson in the first half, but in the end, it was the Bills, Bills, Bills. 27, Jets 10.
And no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Standing on a corner, Jameis Winston down in NOLA. Such a fine sight to see. Trevor Siemian went out and got the win, cause Taysom had an injury. Come on, Jameis, come back and save us. And Arthur Smith's beard is the greatest.
Saints go marching, 30-19.
All right, week 18 in the books. We just watched the end of the Chargers-Raiders game in overtime when it felt like all of America was rooting for a tie, and also half of America thought the NFL was rigged like it was a WWE script from the late 90s. But we got justice. The Raiders win. They get into the playoffs. That was fucking incredible.
No, Big Cat, you can't script an ending like this. Chris Collinsworth told me he would have walked out of the movie.
Yeah.
If you had tried to pawn off an ending to the NFL season, Hollywood would have thrown you in front of a train that was loaded with dynamite if you thought of a script like this.
That was a perfect ending, though, because we had rigged. We had hashtag rigged trending. We had everyone coming up with wild conspiracy theories. And I think it was like the last day of QAnon when JFK Jr. didn't show up. And they're all like, well, what do we do now?
What do you mean the last? QAnon.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
QAnon's still going strong.
Well, QAnon's going strong.
QAnon's going strong.
QAnon is
just
not.
Just wait. JFK Jr. is coming back.
But that was, you know, like you're all just standing there like, wait. So we were just complaining about this game being rigged for the last 3 hours. And then the Raiders ended up winning. And the Steelers are in the playoffs.
It's basically impossible to rig a game for a tie in the NFL without it being blatantly, blatantly obvious. The closest that we came to was on that final drive by the Raiders when if they hadn't have gotten that first down, it probably would have ended in a tie. But you can't. It's the old Herm Edwards thing. You play to win the game. I was getting into a debate with Jake about whether or not it was smart to play for a tie or not. He was saying you play to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you play to win the game. You got to win. You got to win a game before you win a Super Bowl.
Well, on a level for the Raiders, it was smart to go for the win. Once they're in that spot at the end of the game, they know that, like, obviously, if some crazy, crazy thing happens, they could lose the game, right? But if they're sitting there and they're like, should we kick a field goal or should we kneel and let the Chargers in? Well, if you let the Chargers in, you have to go play the Chiefs.
Right.
Where now you get to go play the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals are better than the Raiders, but they have a lot better of a chance against the Bengals than they have against the Chiefs, who has had their number and kicked their ass this year. So, what a game. There's nothing like the NFL. Week 18 did not disappoint. It was insane from start to finish. I would like to actually quote our good friend Magic Johnson, who said, "The NFC and AFC playoffs are going to be so exciting because anybody can win. I can't wait until next weekend."
Just a fact. He speaks for all of us.
He really does.
I can't say it better myself. I am very excited for NFL playoff football.
Anyone can win.
You know what? A big fuck you to those dorks over at the New York Times.
Yeah.
Who they were all doom and gloom, being like 18 weeks sucks in the NFL. No one's excited about these games. Guess what? I'm just going to say, that was the best week 18 in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
It came right down to the last game of the last week. Congratulations, Roger Goodell. You've done it again, you magnificent bastard.
Incredible.
I think, did Derek Carr grow an entire beard during that game?
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of hair, facial hair, regular hair. He's got it all. He's like a chia pet.
I think he was face-balled at the start of this game. I think Derek Carr just took that next step in front of our very eyes.
Incredible. And then, it feels like 10 games ago, but Brandon Staley, living and dying by going for it on fourth down, this game changed basically. The Raiders were up 3, and Brandon Staley went for it on 4th-and-1 on his own 20. The Raiders then reeled off, like, whatever it was, 13 straight points. Felt like they were going to run away with it. We had the Chargers, every single drive they had, the last fourth quarter and overtime, was just nothing on first down, nothing on second down, maybe something on third down, but most likely you have to get a wild 4th-and-10 conversion or penalty. And they went for that game-tying drive at the end of the fourth quarter, which was, I think it was like 19 plays and 60 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It made no sense. Everything was incomplete or just an insane, like, how is this game still going on play? Crazy.
Did Brandon Staley, being a crazy motherfucker all season on fourth down, actually end up preparing the Chargers for that last and final drive?
Yeah,
because they're used to it. They're used to fourth downs. But I think in the first half, on that fourth down play call that he had from his own 19-yard line, I think Brandon Staley,
that was in the second half. But yeah,
I think he might have killed math.
Yeah,
that was in the second half.
Yeah, that was in the second half. Correct.
No, that was in the first half.
I thought that was when it was. Maybe
it was first half as well.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. He killed math.
Oh, he was doing it early. Okay.
He absolutely destroyed math. No one should ever use math anywhere on a football field again. The only thing that Brandon Staley accomplished when he did that was, I think, he made the Raiders think, like, this guy's crazy. This guy's actually insane. He's liable to do anything. Except then most of those play calls at the end of the game on the fourth downs were just like, run your receivers as far down the field as you can.
Yes.
And throw the ball to them. I've never seen an NFL game where the broadcasters are talking nonstop about how tired wide receivers are.
Yeah. That was in the second half, by the way. It was the third quarter. He's that crazy.
That's insane.
It was 17-14. They went for it on 4th-and-1 at their own 18 with 8:57 left in the third quarter. That's how crazy he is. Guy's fucking crazy. And then, like I said, they went directly. They were up 17-14, or they were down 17-14, and then they blinked, and it was 29-14, and they had to crawl back in the last 4 minutes of the game. But he's a madman. He's a madman.
And I'm glad that it ended this way, because for a second we thought that we were going to get gifted one last final last game for Big Ben, and you can't take that away from us.
No.
I would have been apoplectic.
It would have been so cruel. for Steelers fans to have everything break their way all day, and we'll get into all the games, like the Jaguars losing and getting embarrassed by it, or sorry, the Colts losing and getting embarrassed by a bad Jaguars team. Everything breaking their way. They win in overtime against the Ravens, then have that be a tie would have been brutal. Billy, as our number one, you were rooting for a tie so much so I got a little creeped out, like that maybe you were related to a tie. Did you have money on the tie? Because you were geeking out over the tie.
It was just, I was rooting for something that was so unique and probably would never, ever happen again in the history of football. The Jets winning a Super Bowl might happen. The Browns winning a Super Bowl might happen.
A tie.
A tie like that happening again probably would
maybe
never happen.
I just, I got to the point where, like, the day happened and I was like, Big Ben's going to be in the playoffs. This is going to be awesome. So when to have that, like, ripped away from us would have sucked.
You can't take away the joy that we felt when we saw Big Ben at the end of that game. Mike Tomlin can't take away him dancing on an Instagram live post to celebrate the Steelers getting into the postseason. That would have been, it would have been the most disappointing ending for Big Ben's career imaginable. He would probably have to come back next year.
I think we actually got to eat something even better though, Billy. Like, we got so close to a tie there. It was, we got to visualize a tie and then we had the fairness of the game actually ending with a winner.
If Brandon Staley didn't take that one timeout, he wouldn't have broken the trust and they would have tied.
Oh, you think that was the
prisoner's dilemma?
Dilemma.
Exactly. Yeah, that was Staley signaling wasn't willing to go through
exactly
with it at the end.
He was trying to win. So then they both tried to win and the Raiders won.
Mm-hmm.
That was also, I made, like, it felt like everyone in the world who watches football had realized, like, it was a fact they learned that if the Chargers and the Raiders tied tonight, that they would both go into the playoff. And then they basically walked around and tried to tell everyone that maybe doesn't watch football, like, the prisoner's dilemma and how this could work out. It was like that fun fact that everyone was talking about all day.
Yep.
Until we all knew it. Well, everyone knew it.
I think everybody, a lot of people were like the dog chasing the car.
Right.
Where it was cool to like pursue the tie. But if you had actually gotten the tie, I think everybody would have been like, what have I done?
Right.
You wouldn't have enjoyed it.
And we would have lost Big Ben. I think that we're also in a unique spot because we want to see Big Ben in the playoffs one last time because it's funny.
Maybe get another Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's like a fun idea. So I think maybe it would have changed everything if it was like a different team and it wasn't the circumstances of Big Ben retiring. We probably would have been more pro-tie. But we really were. We had that moment today where, like, we get one more Big Ben.
Yeah, it's great. It's an awesome thing to look forward to all week long. This is breaking news from Derek Carr. He said in his post-game interview that the fact that Brandon Staley took that timeout changed the Raiders' mindset.
There you go, Billy.
So Billy's right.
Billy's right.
As first reported by Billy.
Broke the trust.
They seriously?
Derek Carr said that changed their mindset. Yep.
Wow.
Broke the trust.
So we almost had the tie.
It was the prisoner's dilemma. Brandon Staley called the worst timeout in the history of sports.
I still think they were going to kick a field goal no matter what because there was no real lose in it. I guess you could have a block.
I don't think that they would have kicked it unless they had gotten that first down because that would have been too far of a field goal, and they wouldn't have gotten that first down if Brandon Staley didn't call the timeout.
Yeah, because he would have made them punt it possibly. I guess it was smart. It was a smart timeout for Brandon Staley.
Traditionally, yeah, if you're trying to win the game.
No, if you're trying to tie the game, it was smart.
But he sent the wrong signal to them.
Right, but no, he was smart because if they didn't get the first down, it would have been what you're saying. I'm using what you're saying.
The field goal would have been too far.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Would have been a tie. So it was actually his last play that he could have done.
Okay.
Right?
I'm just saying that they tried to get another first down after the timeout, whereas the Raiders could have just run like a soft play up the middle.
Right.
And he gets tackled. You can take the clock
right
basically down to zero.
You don't know if they're going to do that or not, but his timeout basically said, if we stop them here, they're going to have to punt and we're going to tie.
Yeah.
Like, he was basically saying, this is the only way that I can envision us fully holding our own destiny here.
They were
getting a stop.
They were speaking two different languages when it came to signaling their willingness to tie with each other.
But it was rigged.
It was NFL rigged.
NFL rigged.
I honestly wonder if the two sidelines ever had any discussion or communication about a mutual
tie. I bet
tie.
You they in the middle of the field they like Besiktas and Brandon Staley like had a chuckle about it before the game.
I think, wouldn't that
be crazy?
I think it was like Brandon Staley went out there and he was like, hey, you know they're saying that if we just, are you going to do the kneel thing today? Ha ha ha. Then slapped each other on the back
and
walked away.
And maybe stared an extra second into the other guy's eyes, being like, where's he at?
Mm-hmm.
mentally.
Feel like whoever went out for the overtime coin toss, I feel like that would have been
Chase
perfect.
Daniel.
Yeah, Chase Daniels. Why didn't they broker a deal? I feel like that would have been the perfect time.
And negotiation.
In front of the
yeah.
America.
With live microphones.
Yeah. I mean, people, man, if they had rigged it, it would have been a total disaster.
I'm totally in favor of saying that the NFL is rigged all the time for any reason, especially when it goes against what I want to happen to my team or my bet.
Yeah.
But it would have been the dumbest rig job of all time if it had gotten the Steelers out of the playoffs.
And now the Chargers, America's darling, media's darling, is out with a incredible quarterback, a coach everyone likes who we like, and a team that should be a roster that should be a playoff team. They fall in the last seconds of overtime in week 18, and we get the Raiders. The Raiders, Rich Bisaccia should get the job. He should get yes. the job. Like, how the fact that they're in the playoffs is insane when you just stack it all up.
You could
and
make
everything they've had go against them.
You could make a case for like 33% of the coaches in the NFL to be the coach of the year this year.
Yeah.
You could make a case for Bisaccia.
Absolutely.
Foxhole guy.
Yes.
I mean, still don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, no, people get mad about that. Maybe Jay can help us out. But John Gruden gets fired. Henry Ruggs, 6-9. They end up 6-7. They end up 10-7. They win every single game the last four games in, like, I think all the games they won were by 2 points or 3 points down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Like, they beat the Browns that game. I know they beat the Colts by a field goal. So everything was a razor-thin margin, and they did it. What do you got?
Bisaccia.
Okay. I like Bisaccia.
Yeah, well,
at this point,
I'm going to stick with Bisaccia.
Yeah, it's kind of what we do.
Another little fun hot mic moment. I don't know who Eckler's talking to, but he's talking to a Raiders player on the field after the game, and you can read his lips, and he says, "Were you going to kneel it?" And the Raiders guy says, "Yeah."
Wow.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, okay, so it was a miscommunication, because I actually understand what Brandon Staley was doing, because it was too far.
He was fucking up is what he was doing.
Right, but because it was too far, he was basically saying, if we can get this one stop on third down, it will be a punt.
Whoops.
Do you think he was making it too blatant, and then Bisaccia sees that, and he's like, you know, fuck that, we're going to win the game.
I don't know.
Because it's a major, what would Madden do in this situation? Madden,
win the game.
He would win the game. What would Gruden
He'd
do?
Save someone's life.
Be an anti-football pussy win the game. Move.
He didn't want to in the 2001 Super Bowl. He said the Patriots just kneel it and go to overtime.
Right, but once they're in overtime, you got to win the game.
I guess.
But then he also said Tom Brady gave him goosebumps.
Yeah.
Hank, are you retroactively mad at John Gruden for disrespecting
John
Tom
Madden?
I'm not. Did that not happen?
Yeah, but
I love
right.
John Madden.
Right.
I respect the shit
you're
out of him.
Right.
You just said John Madden would go for it, and I was just.
No, you're
giving
right.
you an example of
you're
a situation where
right.
you said you shouldn't go for it. That's
you're
not hate.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes you like to spin things I say.
No, it just sounds like you're
hate.
Mad. You're still mad at John
I'm not
Madden.
Mad. I don't fucking remember. That was
for
8 years old.
Disrespecting Tom Brady.
I don't know. I'm just giving you an example of, you know, the opposite of what you said.
Yeah, okay. No, you're right. He did want to kneel and play for overtime in that situation. Crazy, though. Everything's crazy. So we have it set. It is. So here's the schedule. If you went to sleep early and you haven't checked the schedule, on Saturday afternoon, we're going to have the Raiders versus the Bengals, which is perfect because the Texans having that Saturday afternoon spot was always, even though it's different because it's not the 1 o'clock Saturday, was always a placeholder for the Bengals.
Yeah, it was either the Bengals or the Texans or sometimes
yeah.
a combination of the two.
So back to their rightful owners. Then on Saturday night, Hank, Patriots going to Buffalo. Are you ready?
I'm so ready. I've never been more ready for anything in my life.
Hank okay. wants this.
Okay. You do want this.
I do want it. It's one of those things. Why wait? You know, the Bills are the better team. They're favored. All that shit. They're at home. But this is what you want. Why run? Why not just face it head on?
What's the spread?
You
we talked
go,
about
you
it before
go
the game.
Big brother?
You guys should guess.
I think it's 5.
Is it out yet?
It is.
It is. All right. I'll say 4. 3.5, 4.
Well, you guys are right split in between. It's +4.5 right now.
There it is.
Okay.
And
the weather's going to be bad. It's going to be cold. Breaking news, it's going to be cold in Buffalo, New York, the second week of January.
Whoa. Then Sunday, we have Eagles at Bucks, 49ers at Cowboys.
That's the Nickelodeon game.
Yep.
So we gotta start circling our potential MVPs in this situation here.
I think it's got to be Kittle. We got to keep it in the family.
Yeah. Kittle would be nice.
We have to keep it in the family. I think that's the only answer. It's Kittle. It's Kittle no matter what.
Well, Dak Prescott, the current guest as well.
Yeah, it doesn't. They don't have to be the winning team.
No, Dak Prescott.
Or the losing team. Yeah.
One of our great friends on Part of My Take.
I think this is a don't overthink it. Kittle, congratulations to Greg Kittle. If there is a fan vote, he has won MVP.
All right, Greg.
There you go.
Although
winning or losing, you have won it.
What if the Cowboys lose and we give it to Mike McCarthy so that he can get slimed?
I don't think they do the coaches. But if they do, yes, we should do that.
He'd probably
but
chug
I,
the
I
slime.
I don't think coaches are eligible for the MVP. And then we have Sunday night, the Steelers, Big Ben's last ride, going into the Chiefs. You might remember that game from the Mike Tomlin sad field goal. I think it was like 35-10 or something. Yeah, it was never even that close.
The worst field goal.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's like 2% of Big Ben who's really regretting having to play another week? You already asked him to play a 17-game slate this year. You're making him extend his last season?
I do honestly think he might have gone to sleep not realizing that a tie could have fucked everything up.
No,
and then he would have woken up and been like, wait, what do you mean I'm not in the playoffs?
I hope they just don't explain to him what happened because that's just going to confuse him when he finds out that he almost didn't make the playoffs.
Yes. So, yeah, he might have booked a trip. He might have booked a trip. All right, and then Cardinals-Rams Monday Night Football. So let me just read it back to you real quick. The NFC and AFC playoffs are going to be so exciting because anybody can win. I can't wait until next weekend.
You said it, man.
That's it. I mean, that's...
Cosign.
It couldn't be more... Everything's in front of us. It's no better feeling. All right.
I wish there was a way to retweet somebody in real life because I would just go around
just saying it to
people. Yeah, verbally retweeting Magic Johnson all the time. He speaks for me.
Yeah, did you hear about the AFC and NFC playoffs?
It's going to be exciting.
Can't wait for next weekend. Like, just walking around and saying...
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
I might have to turn that tweet into a song, actually. I feel like that's next up.
Okay, so should we hop into the games? Oh, and Billy and PFT are driving to the Super Bowl, LA. They are second place and last place in the competition. So they'll be driving in a Chevy Silverado. New one?
All new Chevy Silverado.
No, electric one?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow. No. Maybe not.
So it's going to be an all new Chevy Silverado.
It's whatever Dana Beers drove back from Coach Prime in Mississippi.
So it's going to smell like Dana?
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. I was excited.
No convertible? That's a shame.
I was excited to come in second in this. I went 1-7 in my last 2 weeks somehow. But then I'll be honest, it took me about 5 minutes.
Nope, you can't do this.
No, listen.
You're
listen,
not allowed to do this
listen,
now.
I'm going to tell you a little story about a conversation that I had about 5 minutes after it was determined that Billy and I would be making the trip. Billy immediately started suggesting what sort of time frame we should spend on the road. And the first thing he said was, all right, so I think I've got it figured out. We should leave on the evening of that Thursday, I think. And he said we should drive until 6 o'clock in the morning and then sleep until 1 p.m. and then continue our drive. And I immediately realized that this is not going to be the bed of roses that I had envisioned for myself.
That's just for the front end.
The East Coast has more traffic. So we go, we travel, we travel at night when there's the least amount of traffic.
Right.
Then we'll hopefully
dark on the road.
Hit the Midwest by the morning.
Well, your car's lights.
Right.
Exactly. Great lights, actually.
I'll drive it. You can sleep.
And
I'll drive
that
first part.
Maybe the safest truck on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
What are we listening to, Billy? What's on the playlist?
Oh, I got a great road trip classic rock playlist. Life's Highway. All sorts of stuff.
There we go.
Joe Rogan.
From Cars 1.
Cars 1 has a killer soundtrack.
It does, actually.
It's actually like
that.
A goat soundtrack.
So happy that we found something to bond over here.
The Trolls soundtrack is pretty good, too.
Yeah, so you guys will be going to L.A., it'll be great content.
Or Dallas.
Or Dallas.
I think
or Vegas.
I think if it's Dallas, you guys have to go L.A. to Dallas.
That would be awesome. I agree. Everyone else agree?
So we fly to
majority?
L.A.?
No, you have to drive to L.A. and then drive to Dallas.
I saw a recommendation.
So we can't do the road to the 405 and not have
AWO.
That's a great point. Hank.
We got to touch the 405.
Yeah, great point, Hank.
I'll accept that.
I saw a recommendation from an AWL. No GPS. You have to use physical maps.
I mean, they'll never get there.
I'm actually pretty good with maps. You forget, the map is what got me into this mess to begin with. I saw a map online, and it got me excited about this road trip.
So, you guys are in.
So down.
Yeah, no, we know. I'm you guys high. Are very down.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter if you,
you
were
made very clear. Oh. Very down.
We're, yeah. we're trying to figure out the big decision is: do we hit Chicago and then go Nebraska?
Well, the good news is you got a month to figure it out.
Iowa, Nebraska, or do we go St. Louis, Missouri, Oklahoma?
So those are the only two options.
Yeah, well, we take
which
the
one has
the
Memphis Bass Pro Shop
you know
pyramid
what?
On the way?
Why don't we neither. Just every show we're we'll just by check in on where the route is. Because we have a month until you guys have to leave.
I'm going
to
put Billy in charge
so
of
we'll
the route.
So we'll just check in and be like, hey, where are we at with the route? That
we'll
good?
Be working on it.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Perfect. Okay, should we hop into the games? Should we do the games?
Let's do it.
All right. Jaguars Colts was the start of the madness. The Jaguars upset the Colts 26-11. Trevor Lawrence looked like a real quarterback for once. And the Colts... Carson Wentz is Carson Wentz. My pinky is safe. I know that people wanted them to make the playoffs for my pinky. I am happy because I was actually very nervous about the Colts. But yeah, that is an all-time how the fuck do you lose that game? You literally went to play a two-win team that had fired their coach a month and a half ago, had just lost by like 50, and the entire crowd were people dressed as clowns.
Yeah, I've got the data in front of me right now. That's the first time that a team that was hoping to go to the playoffs has gone on the road and lost in a clown-out environment.
Yes.
The clown-outs were previous. No one had ever won a clown game before.
It was so sad. I saw this one picture of these this couple. They had a picture. They had a big poster, and they're like 10 years season ticket holders. Clown-faced, went to the game, clown-faced, 10-year season ticket holders, record 43-120. At what point are you just like, this is just punishment?
Well, also, at what point, being Jaguars fans, getting dressed up as clowns, going to the game, does that become a cell phone? That's kind of you're in a major cell phone situation.
Yep.
When
Pro Max 13.
Those could mean a lot of different things, wearing clown makeup to a game. But usually, you're just saying, like, I am a clown for attending this game.
Right.
And you would be forgiven for thinking that, being a Jaguars fan over all these years, besides obviously the Blake Bortles years. But yeah, that's you also got to keep wearing clown outfits, I think, if you're Jags fans, right?
Yeah.
You're undefeated as the Clowns.
Yes, you are the Clowns. Change the team name to the Clowns. I don't know what Colts fans like. This is one of those very, very difficult to wake up on Monday morning moments, because as recently as week 15, the Colts, there was legitimate buzz that the Colts were playing the best football in the NFL. I saw, like, Dan Orlovsky did a whole victory lap on ESPN because he called that they were going to be a playoff team.
He also would, like, run away and get married to Carson Wentz.
That's true. No, Matt Stafford first.
Matt Stafford, then Carson Wentz.
But it was, everyone was taking their victory lap. The Colts were in the playoffs. The Colts were a really good team. I was very nervous. They had just beaten the Patriots. They had just beaten the Cardinals. They had won a shitload of games in a row. And then they lose to the Raiders at home, and they lose to the Jaguars. And now you wake up. Again, this is very mean to Colts fans. I'm sorry, but you know this is the truth. You wake up on Monday morning. Carson Wentz is your quarterback. He's got $15 million dead cap next year. You gave up a first-round pick for him, and your team didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think that if you're a Colts fan, you're not consuming any media today.
Nope.
You're going on. You might as well be an Amish person for this week, because you don't want to turn on a television. You don't want to open up a newspaper. You don't want to listen to a podcast.
Nope.
So if you are one of those perverted Colts fans that is listening to this on Monday morning, what's wrong?
Sorry,
I give you permission to delete this episode of this podcast and to stop listening. You should
download it again though.
Yeah, download it again. Yes. But you don't. You don't need to be subjecting yourself to this.
I think you're embracing the suck, embracing the pain. Yes, Hank.
There's also like an insane amount of football buzz and excitement going on in downtown Indianapolis today.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So, like, if you have to go to work in Indianapolis, you're trying to avoid football, and it's like everyone's just jazzed up, fired up, football, 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 and you're like, I don't even want to look at a football.
Yes, yeah, someone's going to win a national title, like, in your backyard, and it's going to be the pinnacle of their year, and you lost the Jaguars. And again,
with the HBO crew documenting,
yeah, that's
and
the thing.
The
is
HBO
like,
or whatever, crew, Amazon Prime, whatever.
Yeah, and the fact that you have Carson Wentz. So Frank Reich was asked afterwards about Carson Wentz, and he responded. He was like, you know, is your quarterback going into next year? Like, talk about Carson Wentz. He said he did a lot, and then he also said, I think he's our quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
So that, yikes. And that's a first rounder.
Yeah.
I think he's our quarterback.
Carson Wentz has had a stat line in every single game that he's been in, I think this year, where he's been at some point in the game 5-for-12.
It's so painful, too, because Colts fans, I know that you deluded yourself to thinking that he had changed. There were times when I did the same thing and was like, ooh, Carson Wentz, he's looking... He's
made a few sick throws this year.
They were always, you know, remember the game against the Titans when he did the smartest play in the world and he gave up that shovel pass interception pick six instead of taking a safety? There were a lot of people being like, that was the first time he was Carson Wentz all year. Like, he's actually not turned the ball over. And then when he had to play his best football, the Raiders game, he stunk. And this game, he stunk.
Carson Wentz is still the king of making bad plays worse.
Yep.
And he'll always be that guy. That, you know what? I'm going to add the Colts to the list of teams that I think if Kirk Cousins was on, they could win a Super Bowl.
Maybe.
I think that a team like the Browns or the Colts, having Kirk Cousins, that's your ideal quarterback right now.
Yeah.
A guy who, he won't make bad plays worse. He'll just make bad plays kind of average, and then he'll also make good plays pretty average.
Yeah, he'll make great plays a check down.
Yeah.
Right. So, Colts fans, whew. I'm just happy I have my pinky. You did have that moment where you were rooting for the Colts to win so that we got one pinky game in the playoffs.
Well, yeah.
And I was
not
like, that's very mean.
Hank and I were both doing that, but just in the name of content. It would have been good to have you sweat it out a little bit.
I do agree that watching someone be miserable in a bet scenario,
yes,
is good content.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Exactly.
Glad we're on the same page.
Glad we're all on
the same page. We all agree.
Yes, we all agree. Yeah, but I'm happy they're not in. I did think they had a chance. Like, as of week 15, I was like, I had the conversation with Mrs. Cat, and I was like, listen, just so you know, the Colts are playing really good. And she's like, you made this bet again?
You don't need your pinky. You don't need the tip of your pinky. If anything, that's just a signal to everybody, like, this guy really doesn't do coke.
No, it was a bad conversation, though, because we were just walking with our two kids, and she was like, why are you still making these bets? I was like, because they're fun, and it's, like, thrilling that the Colts are playing better, even though I wrote them off. And so there was a lot of disdain. And she also pointed out, like, you can't – I stupidly was like, well, yeah, I'll just walk into a hospital and they'll cut it off. Like, that's not how it works. They won't just dismember you.
You'd have to intentionally get the tip of it, like, infected.
Yeah.
And get a little bit of gangrene at the end of your pinky so that they have to do a medical procedure to cut it off.
But I just want it on the record.
Take it to a moil and get circumcised.
I want it on the record. I had that actual conversation. If people think that I'm not, like, I wouldn't take it seriously, I would. It would suck. But I was having those real life conversations of, like, oh yeah, the Colts might make the playoffs and they're pretty damn good, and I got to cut my pinky off.
It just would have been good to have one game, one playoff game, just so the dream stays alive for another week.
Yeah, I mean, we had it with the Texans. We haven't had it since. I'm shocked. I did not think, I thought the Jags would give them a game. I did not think the Colts would lose this game the way they did. Mm-hmm. I really didn't. It was crazy.
This was the ultimate the NFL makes no sense game.
Yeah.
When you look at what's happened to both teams in the last even 3 weeks.
Yes.
How do the Jags win this game? The only thing is, like, Trevor Lawrence, he looked really good in that first half. I think he started off 11-for-11.
Yeah. No, he looked really good.
This, like, he took a shit on Sam Ehlinger.
Yeah. Yes. He looked really, really good. So, big-time Trevor Lawrence, positive momentum going into next year.
I think we're now diehard believers in Trevor Lawrence.
Yes,
based on
the
first half of this one game.
All right, next game. Steelers-Ravens. We kind of touched on it. Big Ben, he gets one more shot at it. Maybe they're a team of destiny. Maybe they'll get blown out by 30 to the Chiefs and he'll cry on the sideline again. But either way, Big Ben, Sunday Night Football, his true send-off, I'm excited.
So I've seen this debate a couple places. I think it's probably the dumbest use of the term, like, no one wants to see the Steelers in the playoffs.
No one said that.
I think
who, Dave Damashek?
I think the Steelers are the team that you want, if you were to circle a team that you would really want to see.
Without a doubt.
I really want to see the Steelers in the playoffs.
Can be run on, can't run the ball.
The quarterback doesn't have legs.
It's like they're the opposite of everything Julian Edelman has told us a tough team is.
Yes, their quarterback, his face got so fat that he can't physically remove his helmet.
Yes.
I think you really want to see the Steelers in the playoffs.
No, the Chiefs are pumped.
But it is kind of Team of Destiny vibes. And I can talk myself into the Steelers winning this game. I can do it. You want to hear me talk myself into doing it?
T.J. Watt, 7 sacks.
T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Best player in the NFL right now.
T.J. Watt, and then maybe Chase Claypool goes off.
Fitzpatrick can get an interception.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. Those two names go together.
Ray McLeod.
Fitzpatrick and interception.
Ray McLeod is due because he's never scored a touchdown
statistically
ever.
Statistically, he is.
Is it time that we say that T.J. Watt is now officially the best Watt brother?
He is defensive player of the year easily. I think he'd have to win. J.J. did win back-to-back defensive player of the years. Or was it three in a row? Might have been three.
I don't know. But he never got 22 sacks.
He never got 22 sacks, but he did have a stretch there where... Remember that stretch where he was like...
He was unstoppable.
This is not human.
And 12, 14, and 15 for
so
defensive
two in
player
a row,
year.
Three out of
three
four.
Out of four.
He had a dynasty.
Yeah, he did.
Defensive player.
And the thing also with J.J. was he was probably like a top 10 tight end.
Right.
Whenever he wanted to get in the game and catch a touchdown pass.
But yeah, no, T.J. Watt has been insane this year. He's defensive player of the year, 22 and a half sacks, ties Michael Strahan. I loved that some people were saying, well, there's an extra game. He played, realistically speaking, he played like 14 games this year. So he played less games than Michael Strahan and also didn't have Brett Favre fall down for the game tying sack.
That was
the record tying sack.
That was the biggest asterisk move of all time. Brett Favre talking to Michael Strahan before the play.
Rigged.
Saying,
rigged.
I'm going to roll out this way and fall down and get you the sack.
NFL rigged.
And that was, you know what? Watching Michael Strahan celebrate that sack, a little bit of me dies every time I see that celebration.
I agree.
If you think it's bad when you watch cornerbacks celebrate an incomplete pass that missed by 15 yards, nothing compared to what Strahan did after getting gifted that final sack.
Agreed.
I think T.J. Watt right now is, you know what, I was going to say something nice about, we've said a lot of nice things about T.J. Watt. I just might become one of the Aaron Donald guys. Be like, actually, Aaron Donald, based on his win rate, should get the Defensive Player of the Year every year.
He wrecks all the games.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the craziest part, too, is T.J. Watt got paid all that money and then had his best year ever, which is it's a cool thing in sports because obviously a lot of times guys get a lot of money. You're usually paying for past production, not future production, but in this case, he got that big paycheck.
Well, it's because he got back in the room. He got
that
workout in right after he signed the deal. That one workout probably made all the difference to get him this sack record.
Propelled him. Big Ben also, in this game, he took over second place alone for game-winning drives. So 57th game-winning drive.
Wow.
He passed Peyton and Breeze. Tom Brady's still number one.
He had two game-winning drives in this game, though. We should count two separate drives.
Then,
he had two drives with the game really on the line.
Yep.
And he was able to pull it off. This looked like it also might tie at the end.
It was fun, though, because he was throwing a couple balls that were like, there'd be ducks, but then he'd reach back and he'd laser one for like 5 yards.
He tried to run the hurry-up offense at one point.
Yep.
And then his whole team looked at him like, Ben, don't do this, Ben.
Please.
We need all your energy.
Yeah, so Steelers are in. Ravens, we've talked about it, but like they went from 8-3 to 8-9. They went from a team that looked like was going to be contending in the AFC to falling apart, missing the playoffs. Injuries just, like, I think you could honestly, if you're a Ravens fan, be like, that was just the year from hell. There's nothing we can do about it.
I think I want to go ahead and say I might have gotten a little bit too excited about Tyler Huntley.
But I'm going to back you up as a friend and say I also did, and that's just how we react.
He did look good for like a week and a half.
He looked great.
He looked really good.
In losses.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been the key, is that we kept on being like, this guy is awesome. It's like, well, they lost. He lost to the Packers. And mm-hmm. They lost to the, but he was awesome.
He was the ultimate case of like seeing a flash out of a player, and he's still probably going to be a really good backup wherever he ends up.
Yep.
But you see how good he plays, and then you're like, how come everyone missed on this guy? Then you go back and you read the scouting reports come out of college, and you start reading the like two guys that got their scouting report correct on him.
Yeah.
And you're like, yep. See, these two guys I've never heard of that just put like PFF in their Twitter handle, even though they don't work for any company.
Right.
These guys, they saw something. I knew there was something about this.
Yes,
guy.
Yes.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Okay, let's move on. We're going to start buzzing through a few of these games. Titans, Texans. Titans get the one seed. Crazy season. The fact that they had the most resounding loss in week one when they got absolutely killed by the Cardinals. They lost to the Jets. They lost to these same Texans. They had lost Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. I gave you the stat last week. They broke the record for most players played on a roster in a season. They also didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher or 1,000-yard receiver, and they have the one seed. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Crazy.
Mike Vrabel, Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year.
I actually do think that he's probably going to end up winning Coach of the Year, unless he's a bad guy and Hub has something to hold against him. But I think
he checks out. He's okay.
Vrabel, good guy. Great coach, even better human being.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
I realized watching this game that Danny Amendola is still in the league.
Yes.
He had a little breakout game.
Dola
got two touchdowns, I think, and a two-point conversion.
Yeah, because Davis Mills is the future.
He is. And I think David Culley's coming back next year.
Good. He deserves it.
He outperformed expectations, which is maybe saying how low the bar was for David Culley coming into this year.
Yeah.
And you know what? He learned over the course of the season. You remember at the start of the year, he was the punt god? That's all he would do. He would find new ways to punt. And I think he kind of like, he showed improvement over the course of the season. And really, what else are you going to do if you're the Texans? This is like, if you're the Texans, you're in year one and a half of probably a four-year tank job.
And it's actually kind of awesome, though, that you might have found your quarterback, because that was like Deshaun Watson now becomes a realistic, hey, we could trade him and get a ton of picks and really restart the rebuild. So Davis Mills, the last four games of the season, he was 2-2, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 68%, 927 yards. Not bad. Like, he looked better and progressed as the season went along. And the fact that he came out early from Stanford, it's crazy to think. But if he had stayed at Stanford, he probably would have been a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Just tell yourself that. I know that's not how it works, but just tell yourself he's a top five pick and that's your franchise.
Yeah, so we should also say something nice about Taylor Lewan. Because remember after that first week when he gave up 5 sacks, he put out...
in one game?
Yeah, I think it was one game.
Fuck.
Yeah, and he put out that statement. He basically took out a full-page ad being like, hey, I'm sorry, I sucked. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to improve, but I deserve everybody telling me how much I blow. He should be entitled to take out a full-page ad in whatever newspaper that he wants and just say, suck my dick.
Yeah.
Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, because they were able to run the ball without Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry might be back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's wild that they're the one seed, and it's wild they don't have to play the Chiefs until potentially the AFC Championship game. So I don't know what like the best matchup for them would be, but fuck it. They got to win two games to get to the Super Bowl, and they're the only team with the bye becomes so much more significant now.
I want to do like a deeper dive into seeing what the makeup of most of these coaching staffs that are still in right now look like, but I'm pretty sure that Vrabel's defensive coaching staff, if he includes himself, are the most aggressive human beings.
Yes,
because he's got Jim Haslett.
Yep,
and he's got Jim Schwartz coaching
so he
defense.
Just wants
along
to
with
fight
him.
People.
He just wants to kick everyone's ass.
Mm-hmm.
He probably has the largest coaching staff. I'm talking about like mass wise.
I think there's something to be said to just being like, listen, at the end of the day, if it ever gets down to like, hey, you want to take a step outside? We got this.
Yeah, we'll step outside.
That's a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of another coach, so that was Titans-Texans. Again, we're going to whip through some of these because some of them just don't matter. Lions-Packers didn't matter, except for the fact that I do think the Packers are now officially limping into the playoffs after losing to the Lions. And shout out Farmingdale's own Tom Kennedy, who we met. He threw the 75-yard touchdown pass. He's a wide receiver for the Lions. He threw a 75-yard touchdown pass on a trick play, and we know him because we met him at Stu Finer's house, and we watched Frank the Tank, a topless Frank the Tank standing in Stu Finer's pool, make fun of Tom Kennedy and the Lions so much so that Tom Kennedy left the party.
He eviscerated the Lions.
Yeah.
And so we
don't know he left because of Frank the Tank.
I mean,
he left
because
of
Frank the Tank.
I don't want to sound like you sounded like he had a, pissy fit and then ran
no,
away.
No, he didn't have a pissy fit.
There was no pissy fit because he just got mentally demolished by Frank the Tank. So he sits down at the pool next to us, and Stu's like, oh, this guy's in training camp for the Lions right now. And Frank goes, the cowardly Lions, are they even a real NFL team? All they do is lose on Thanksgiving.
He emptied the clip. And I don't think Tom Kennedy left because it was a pissy fit. I think Tom Kennedy left because he's like, I don't think this guy has any limit to the amount of jokes he has written about the Lions. And I mean, Frank could go on for a day.
He was right.
Just roasting the Lions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's like, I don't want to be subjected to this.
I think it's safe to say that these Lions are the best 3-13-1 team of all time.
Fact. I mean, they were fighting till the bitter end. Also, Jordan Love sucks. That's awesome.
Yep.
He does. He sucks.
Well, I mean, was this loss on Jordan Love or was it on Aaron Rodgers? Because Rodgers played, you know what? This might be Aaron Rodgers' last regular season game as a Packer.
Yeah.
No one's talking about that.
Also, it might have been selfish of him to be in the game because he could have gotten hurt.
Yeah, why were they playing their starters?
I think Aaron Rodgers just wanted to like get more stats.
He just wanted to be on TV again?
Yeah. So, selfish reasons, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. He probably wanted to get his per diem meal.
Yep.
Some bullshit like that you got to play.
I do think that the Packers have a serious issue, though. And that's Crosby and Bohorquez.
No.
His holder.
No, they're fine.
They need to like duct tape themselves to each other. They need to walk around holding each other's hands. They need to stay in the other person's house. They need to be by each other's side because I think they just don't like each other.
They're totally fine. It's gonna be fine. It won't bite them in the ass.
I would be very worried if I was a Packers fan.
Last thing from this game, Amon-Ra St. Brown, our last update, because we've been updating every week. His last six games, he had 51 catches, 560 yards, and 6 touchdowns. That's a full season in his last 6 games. Mm-hmm. He's a fucking stud.
Dan Campbell said earlier this week, they're in the Arctic Ocean now, but they're heading for the Caribbean.
Beautiful.
So if I'm tracking his progress, I think the Lions are somewhere off the coast of Newfoundland.
Yeah.
They're making their way south.
They're getting there.
It's still
slowly.
Still very cold.
Also, I saw Jared Goff say to Davante Adams after, go win the whole thing. So note it.
Okay.
Note it. Put that in my tickler file.
So
noted.
So if the Packers win the whole thing, it's because of their pump-up speech
from Jared Goff.
Who
yes.
is playing as well as almost any quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah. He maybe gets a vote. Maybe Habarkish votes for him for MVP. He did. He was the last person to beat Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Right. He did that in the regular season.
And the Lions finished the year, most importantly, credit to Hank Lockwood for texting this to our group thread, 11-6 against the spread.
Wow. Spread gods. That's incredible. And an outright win. Hungry Dog Parlay.
I think that these Lions are probably the best awful team that I've ever seen.
I was surprised you guys didn't give me like a couple minutes to, you know, acceptance speech for being the best gambler on the show when you're talking about it. But if I did have an acceptance speech...
Well, PFT was trying to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I did a really good job.
No. If I did have an acceptance speech, I would dedicate to Lions.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So thank you, Lions.
Thank you, Lions.
Much of the reason why I was the number one gambler on this podcast is because of you and
congrats,
nothing else.
And Dan Campbell.
I like the truthers that are suggesting that I threw it at the end just to make Hank happy like we did with that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I mean, you were very clear with what you were doing.
I was very blatant with my reasons.
In the reverse, as the worst gambler on the podcast, I'd like to dedicate my losing season to the Jets.
No, I don't usually give the last.
Yeah, we don't usually give that a speech.
Wait.
If you're an award show, you're not just throwing out.
Billy, did you end up going 500 on the year?
No.
No.
I was close.
Very close.
But that's not 500.
If the Chargers covered, it would have been 36-36-1, but he's 35-37.
I mean, that's pretty impressive for Billy when we all treat him like a sack of shit when he was predicting, like, okay, I'm trying to win this game and lose this game. If it had actually worked out where he was exactly 500 on the year, that
would
be nice.
Well, no, but there were some weeks where he was trying to win them all.
That's
true. He switched his strategy midway through. Yeah. Okay, so that's Lions-Packers. We'll see the Packers in the playoffs in the divisional round. Next up, we got Washington Football Team Giants. I just want to have a special shout out to Joe Judge. I don't think I've ever seen someone be told that they're going to get to keep their job and done everything in their power to try to have them reverse that decision. I looked it up. Joe Judge was told that he was going to keep his job on December 26th. Little late Christmas gift. the last after that moment, he lost a combined 85-20 in the three games. He had a game where he had minus six passing yards. He had a story where he said that ex-players were calling him and saying how bad they wish they were still playing for him, even though they were making more money. And then he had two plays today where he did a QB sneak from the 3-yard line and the 4-yard line on 2nd and 10 and 3rd and 9 because he was too scared about getting the Bears getting a safety against him last week. That's what he said in the game afterwards, in the postgame.
Well, he called two quarterback sneaks back-to-back because you might see the first one coming, but you usually wouldn't see the second one coming.
No, no, but now, he literally said that it was because of last week.
And it got, I think it got 1 yard each time.
Yeah.
They definitely saw it coming both times. Now, you conveniently left out the fact that I didn't see any players from the Giants on the sidelines holding golf clubs getting ready to go on vacation, Big Cat.
True.
They ran those quarterback sneaks with a high level of commitment and violence on the offensive line. They played their hearts out those two quarterback sneaks.
Could you imagine? I think you're not hearing what I'm saying about the post-game press conference. He said that we gave up a safety last week and we were scared we were going to give up another one.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy is that?
No, he's insane.
That's crazy.
There's no good explanation for running a quarterback sneak on 3rd and 9 from like your own 2-yard line.
Because one time we gave up a safety.
You're crazy. You're a crazy person for doing that. And this is, again, I'm gonna go back to the clown comment earlier this week. He said, we're not a clown franchise. Yeah. We don't have our players fighting each other. If you're denying that you're a clown, chances are,
yes,
about 100% that you're a clown.
You are a clown.
You never want to be in a position where you're like, hey, just for the record, I know you might think I'm a clown, but I'm actually not.
Yes. And he also kind of did like an aha because he said, we were trying not to get a safety and we stopped him the next time after we punted it. So like, eggs on your guy's face. That was actually a tactical advantage for us.
We gained 11 yards of field position.
Incredible. Incredible. I just want to shout out Joe Judge. He literally went from, Joe Judge, you're coming back, and everyone's like, no, why is he coming back? To saying, fuck it, let me see if I can lose this job for real.
There's a possibility, though, that Gettleman has convinced the Maras that he's going to lie to Joe Judge and say that he's coming back, but then fire him. I still think he might be fired.
Joe Judge?
Yeah.
I mean, they should.
I think that there's a chance that they will.
There's no excuse to keeping him.
There really is not a reason to do it. I can't think of a more depressing place to be on planet Earth than 1 p.m. at the Meadowlands. It was like 35 degrees outside to watch the Washington football team play against the New York Giants. There's no good excuse. Unless you work at the game or have a blood relative on the field, there's no reason to put yourself through that.
Tickets were going for $7.
That's way too expensive.
Yeah, it was a brutal one. So Joe Judge, shout out you, man, because here it is. Here's the replay. 2nd and 11, right up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
QB sneak.
The crazy thing is, they saw the second QB sneak coming.
Yes.
The defense lined up to stop a quarterback sneak.
Yes.
It's crazy. It's insanity. Shout out to the Washington football team. 7 wins, 2 years in a row.
Boom.
That's a dynasty right there. That's
huge. Something about
consistency. First, you gotta learn how not to lose 7 games in the NFL before you can win more than 7.
They didn't go backwards.
We did. Well, one more loss.
Yeah, but no, we don't have to talk about the fact there's an extra game.
We got the same amount of
7 wins.
Same amount of wins. Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
This game happened.
Yep.
Okay.
Sucked.
Yeah, Browns, good job. You got 8 wins. Bears-Vikings, this game also happened. I just had two quotes. Mike Zimmer, it was the coaches getting fired bowl. Mike Zimmer afterwards was asked about his job, and he responded to the reporter, I haven't heard about yours either.
Yeah, so that's a yes, I'm fired. I know that I'm fired. Did anybody ask him about Kellen Mond, though?
Jake?
No comment.
Okay. just
I had, by the way, I was in Michigan this week, and I had like 10 people come up to me and be like, wow, Jake, you screwed up this week.
I love it. And then Matt Nagy, it's weird whenever you get to the end of a coach that you've hated so much, because there's a little part of you that's like, oh, I feel kind of bad, but I don't. And you're almost like, we just been waiting for the moment that I won't even really react on Monday, because he's fired.
He's been
fired for a while.
You guys have been in a loveless marriage, and you've been waiting for your kids to go off to college. And now it finally happened, and I think it's just going to be best for all parties involved if you keep it friendly.
Right. It's like I've cried all my tears.
Yeah.
I don't have any emotion left. He did say to his team, let this stuff refine you, not define you. I kind of like that.
That's
Matt Nagy with quirky, cool sayings right to the bitter end.
You know what, though? I think he gets most of his motivational quotes from just like random shit posters that he sees at Target.
They seem
like something that you would get with your first apartment when you like the Live, Laugh, Love collection by Matt Nagy.
He gets them from the calendar, the peel every day.
I don't think
he peels one off.
It's not the calendar, it's just like shit that's on a wall in the most unoriginal person's house. You got to find inspiration somewhere, I guess.
Well, that's being himself. He's being you.
He needs to be him.
Yeah.
Not be you.
Right.
Or maybe his you is just not good enough.
Yeah, no, it's not. So
be someone else.
See you, Matt Nagy. There was at one point he was a good coach, and then the double doink broke his brain.
You know what? I mean, he was a good coach with Mitch Trubisky.
He won NFL Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy had something going.
Remember that, because that will be a great trivia question. 2018, who won NFL Coach of the Year? Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
That will stump you.
I was looking at Kirk's stats this year because Cousins is, you know, he's the stat god. He was one of the top five quarterbacks in most things that you would keep track of besides wins and losses.
Things you'd collect.
Things that you would look at and be like, oh, those numbers look big.
Right.
Kirk Cousins is without a doubt like a top 10, maybe top 5 guy in some of those categories. I think I figured out his problem, though, because they lost a lot of games where he played well, statistically played
right.
well. I think he's just too good. And I think that he scores too fast sometimes and then puts his defense in a position to lose. Kirk needs to get a little bit worse at playing if he wants to be truly good.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, like, you could make the argument that the season that he had this year is statistically better than the season that Brett Favre had when he was lights out in Minnesota.
Got it.
So it's got to be somebody else's fault but Kirk's.
He's got to be a little bit worse.
He's got to be a little bit worse so you don't put your defense in a position to be much worse.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer's gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone.
I don't think he wants... He'll probably fire himself if they don't do it.
Yeah. It feels like that. I think they caught him taking a picture with the defensive coordinator on the sideline, and someone was like, why would you do that? He's like, oh, we'd never taken a picture together. It's like, what?
Does Zimmer strike you as a guy that does it for the gram?
Yeah, it's like going through like your grandmother's like, you know, heirlooms and stuff. Like, what are you doing? Oh, no. She's just moving to an apartment where they have a nurse 24/7.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
He's definitely aged a lot while he's been in Minnesota.
Yeah.
How long he's been there? 5 years, 6 years?
Way longer than that, I feel like. It feels like longer.
He is...
I would have guessed
he aged
eight.
He aged worse than presidents do.
Yeah.
Started in 2014.
So seven.
7 years. Seven
eight.
Years.
This is his eighth. I don't know how you count it. The years are always tough when you like do the seasons and this.
Yeah.
And then there's playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
sucks.
Do you consider this the 2022 playoffs?
Like, shout out baseball. The one thing they got right is they just do the whole fucking thing.
The end
one
of his
year.
Eighth season.
Okay.
All right.
He's completed 8 years.
Yes. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21.
There
we go.
Eight. They should rearrange the entire calendar around football. So, like, the new year should start in September.
Yeah,
September 1st.
Or the new year should be Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The next day. I liked how you kind of, like, patronized me a little bit there.
No, I was doing it for myself, too.
No, I know. You got your swag back. I like it.
Also,
you needed your swag back. It's good that it came into Mike Zimmer fact. Full
yeah,
circle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No. You saw him. He kind of was like,
no, I was
you
doing
fucking
myself,
idiot. You don't know how to count years.
Never.
No, I like it. I liked it.
Okay.
I want you to get your swag back.
All right. The Bears social media also tweeted 20 minutes ago, 10 minutes till kickoff. I guess they scheduled for 12:50 a.m. and not p.m.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I've been there.
They're getting ratioed right now.
Shit. That's awesome. Okay. 49ers-Rams, an actually good game. A great game. We had in this game the Kyle Shanahan's biggest comeback as 49ers head coach and Sean McVay's largest lead blown as Rams head coach. So it was a wild game, and It all kind of spun out of control for the Rams when Sean McVay jumped into the end zone and celebrated with his team because he thought they were going to kick the shit out of the 49ers. And the 49ers, like, credit to them, they just kept running the ball. I think there was that, what was that drive? They ran like 11 times in a row?
So I think it was like 10 times in a row, and then they didn't even let Jimmy G pass on their next yes. passing down. They let Deebo Samuel.
That was, yeah, okay.
Throw it. That's when it turned. So they got outscored 27-7 after Sean McVay
yes.
celebrating the end zone. Probably should have gotten flagged, if we're being honest, for excessive celebration.
Absolutely. The ref kind of rigged.
Yeah,
NFL rigged.
And then Sean McVay made contact with the official.
NFL rigged.
They were trying to get, you know what? They want the Rams to play in the Super Bowl because it's in their home stadium.
Yeah.
Which Mr. Kroenke built using his own hard-earned money.
That's a fact.
That he didn't pay taxes.
Yes, on. Yes. Niners, though, like that was, they needed it because the Saints won, so they needed to win to get in. They found a way. Incredible game. I'm very nervous about the Niners because of my Cowboys' future. Like, the Niners are going to be a tough out. It's pretty much, if you're playing the Niners, you know you're going to get the shit kicked out of you in terms of they're going to run the ball down your throats, and they play physical on the defensive line. It's just a question of, can you just wait till Jimmy G fucks up?
Or Jimmy G is actually a quarterback that he likes to start out really shitty.
Yeah.
And then he likes to almost lose his job, and that's what really motivates him. He's like, you know, he'll go out there and fuck around a little bit, but then when he's about to get benched is when Jimmy G is like, okay, I better figure it out. And he started to play pretty, like, he improved over the course of this game. He was looking like a competent quarterback, whereas in the first half, he looked just fucking awful.
I just can visual. Can you visualize the Cowboys? Like, close your eyes, visualize the Niners have run the ball for 200 yards. They've just had a drive where they ran the ball. They took an entire quarter. They ran like 17 plays, 15 of them are runs. And Mike McCarthy's drooling a little bit down his face. And he's like, I don't know what to do.
I'm a little fucked up when it comes to envisioning this game because I think with the uniform combination.
Classic.
It's such a classic combo. I can't see one team just getting manhandled.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be a good game. Also, I like the Cowboys defense a lot. I don't think that they can get pushed around like the Rams can.
Yeah, but I feel like the Niners just do it to everyone. I mean, the fact that the Niners were down 17, and obviously they got that field goal before halftime, but you don't. It's rare you see a team that's down 17 or down 14 at the time being like, no, we're going to keep running the ball and running the ball and running the ball,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter.
And they can.
Like, they didn't change who they were.
They can do it. They can. I think they can run the ball on anybody with any running back. That part doesn't really matter. They didn't have Trent Williams today either, and they were still able to like impose their will. Getting him back is going to be big. We talked about this week one or week two when we said that we should give an award this year for the X Factor of the year.
Yep.
You remember that when we were talking about Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yep.
I feel like it's a two-person race, right? It's Cordarrelle himself and then Deebo.
Deebo.
So you got maybe we can give two awards. One where it's like Deebo wins the award for wide receiver.
Everyone a participation trophy.
Wide receiver, running back. And quarterback combo, and Cordarrelle wins it for running back, wide receiver, kick returner.
Deebo Samuel wins the guy I like to watch play football the most award.
He wins the award for guy that can bail you the fuck out.
Yes. Yes. I'm just happy, too, that MVP Greg Kittle is in the playoffs. So, happy for him. Also, Cooper Kupp won the Triple Crown, which is fucking crazy. Deserves to be noted. He had... led the league in receptions with 138, led the league in yards with 1,829, led the league in touchdowns with 15.
So he should be Offensive Player of the Year.
I mean, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
To get the Triple Crown, and he was so good, and it just – he's scary, but you know who's really scary is Matt Stafford, because that's – have fun, Rams fans. You are just constantly – being like, he's going to give up the big one. Like, he is...
What, do you have three interceptions today?
I think he had two. But, and he had 40 touchdowns this year, and he had a really, really good year. I think I saw a stat where he's, like, only the second or third guy who had... Oh, no, he was the fifth guy all time who's had 40 touchdown seasons in multiple seasons. But he will always just give one up.
He's also the definition of he's a guy that's constantly banged up this year.
Yep. But he's just, you know what I mean? Like, that feeling of, well, this is, like, there'll be a moment, and he will make sure that he throws an interception in that moment, that critical moment, and then your season's over.
I'm also concerned about the Rams because they just can't run the ball.
Yeah.
So if we're doing the Julian Edelman thing.
Yep.
Special teams, probably okay. Defense, not so much. Sometimes they can be good at defense. Yeah. Aaron Donald is a great player.
Yes.
That's what Jalen Ramsey.
Vaughn Miller.
Very good player.
Leonard Floyd.
They got a, you know what? They got
name
a,
everyone.
They got a lot of good players, Big Cap, but do they have a great team?
Nope. Probably not. Probably not. And if you pause the game, like 4 minutes to go in the second quarter, you'd be like, the Rams look like the Super Bowl champions.
Mm-hmm. Well,
unfortunately, they play four quarters.
The good news for them is they're playing against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, so let's go to them. Although they split the series this year, the Cardinals and the Rams.
Right.
They're matching up again on Monday Night Football. The Cardinals lost to the Seahawks 38-30. Do you want to talk about that game?
Well, I was just going to say, like, it's my bad look, big yikes guy of the week goes to Rams fans at home because that was a 49ers home game.
It was.
And I don't know if Cardinals fans travel to L.A.
Cortez will be there.
Cortez will be on the road.
Whose line is it anyway?
Ooh, I'm going to say pick 'em.
I'm going to say Rams. I'm going to go with the same as the Patriots line, -4.
I would say Rams -2, but the actual line is Rams -4.5.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, okay.
I might fuck around and take the Cardinals.
Cardinals +4.5.
Ooh, ooh.
Cardinals defense, I mean, they got torched by the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And Kyler, like, Kyler just goes from looking incredible 1 second to what's going on here the next.
Yeah, the Cards and the Rams are kind of two sides of the same coin because they've both regressed. So it's like which team has regressed their regression the most?
Well, yeah, which team started highest, and then where did their regression lead them?
Yeah, I feel like the Cardinals, they're the regressed kings of the NFL.
Well, they regressed the most, but they also started higher than the Rams.
Are you talking about like week one, or are you talking expectations going into this year?
I'm talking about week one, like the first.
From their high.
From their high, the Cardinals were the highest, and they regressed the most, but they might have, their regression might lead them a little higher than the Rams.
Right. The Rams were never super, super high. They won that one game.
They won the week three Super Bowl against the Bucks.
Yeah, against the Bucks. So that was when they were the highest. And I would say that they've regressed quite a bit, but their regression has regressed. They've looked more impressive in some of their losses recently than the Cardinals have in their losses.
Right. Oh, the Cardinals did beat the Cowboys. But yes, who knows with this game?
I think take the points.
Yeah. Yep. We'll discuss all the playoff games. Is this the last time we see Russ in a Seahawks jersey? I saw the quote. He says he hopes to be back with the Seahawks.
Depending on what Ciara says.
I just want to remind Russ that you get to decide that. You are the franchise quarterback. It's your decision.
Yeah.
100%. If you want to be back with the Seahawks, you. So when you say the Seahawks should actually go to him and be like, print out the ESPN bottom line where it says Russell Wilson says he hopes to be back with the Seahawks. Just put it on his desk and be like, okay, great, so you're back.
You're under contract.
You're back.
Yep.
It's great. So you hope to be back, so you're back.
I now think that both Pete Carroll and Russ Wilson will come back next year.
Why not?
I think they're gonna run it back.
They can do the mental gymnastics of like Russ was hurt for a month and a half.
You can do that, and you can also say like getting a quarterback as good as Russell Wilson is very tough to do in this league.
Yeah, I would say it's very tough.
Getting a coach like Pete Carroll is tough to do in this league. Why don't we just try to give it another shot? The crazy part is they probably won't make any actual material changes to the rest of their team, but they're just going to be like, all right, Pete Carroll and Russ Wilson coming back next year.
Right.
Good combination. We feel excited about our direction.
Yes. I'm looking at it right now, their season. They went 1-6 in the Russ Wilson injury weeks. And I'm including when he came back and was still injured.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. They went 1-6. And then in the other weeks, when he was healthy, they went 6-4. So,
that's
a decent team.
Didn't we also call this game, like, right when the Seahawks were, you know, by the eyeball test, eliminated? I think we said the Seahawks are going to spoil some team in week 18.
And they did spoil because the Cardinals went from having a home game to a road game with the Rams losing as well.
Yeah, and good news if you're a Cardinals fan, because Cliff Kingsbury was asked, are you concerned about the lack of urgency that your team has had recently? He said, well, Next week we're in the playoffs, so I think we're going to see a higher degree of urgency.
Beautiful.
So there you go.
And J.J. Watt's back.
J.J. Watt is going to try to come back?
No, he's back.
Officially,
yes.
Per J.J. Watt.
Per Ian Rappaport. Okay. Per J.J. Watt. He's back.
I'm sure he'll be at 100%.
He will be back. Bills, Jets, anything?
Josh Allen is really, really good.
Yeah. Feels like the Bills are quietly, like, well, okay.
Getting their groove back a little bit.
Well, just, I was looking at the bracket, and I don't know. Like, they could beat the Chiefs, right?
I'm telling you.
Didn't they beat the Chiefs this year?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
They playing the Chiefs?
No, yeah, they beat.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, yeah, you're right.
I'm just at.
They beat them in Sunday
night,
right?
Yeah, they could beat anyone.
That's all I said, is they could.
I think that the Bills.
I think they
could. Week 5, 38-20.
The Bills beat the Chiefs.
Yep, in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bills have quietly put together, they put themselves back together to being one of those teams that's contending in the AFC.
You know what?
They're in the playoffs.
I think the Bills went from being the team that
everyone's
talking
about. Everyone in the playoffs is contending.
Now they're the team that nobody's talking about.
Yeah,
We've forgotten about the Bills.
That's my point. Is everyone contending in the AFC?
Yeah, everyone that's still alive
the Steelers
has
are
a chance
contending?
To win the, yeah, Big Ben.
You think the Raiders are contending?
Are they still in the playoffs?
They are.
Then yes.
The Patriots?
Yes.
Are you thinking Stoopy?
What are your expectations?
I'm thinking Saturday night, beat the Bills. Worry about the
one
game.
One game
after.
At a time.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. Anyone can win.
It is. Good point,
Thank
Jake.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you. Exactly.
Thank you, Jake. You want to talk about the Bills, Dolphins? I mean, the Patriots, Dolphins?
I got a couple things to say about the Bills, though. Has it always been the camera angle all fucked up in Orchard Park?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's too windy?
No, it's like 20 feet lower than any other camera angle.
Yeah, they do have a low camera.
A very low camera angle there. And the other note that I had in this game was, how does Josh Allen not have a nickname yet?
Looks good in shorts.
He does look good in shorts. We need a nickname for Josh Allen.
I think his name is fun to just say.
Josh Allen.
And it's quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Josh Allen.
Yeah. I was coming up empty when I was trying to think of nicknames.
I don't think you force
it. You can't force it. But no. When I saw him make that one throw where he was, you know, Matrix style parallel to the ground, just basically willed the ball into the end zone, I was like, that's a magic man right there.
Yeah, but how many quarterbacks actually have nicknames at this day and age?
Not that many.
Not that many. Like, and
we'll let it come to us.
Yeah, I don't think you can do Magic Man.
The Magic Man.
That was, what's his name? Fucking former
Cal Naughton.
Packers quarterback. Right before Favre.
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, yeah. Blake is the Magic Man.
Yeah, Blake Bortles is who I was thinking of. The boat. Yeah, like that one comes naturally. He's the boat.
Yeah.
But like Lamar doesn't.
Don Majakowski?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Right before Favre.
How about Super Bowl
right
champion Josh
everyone,
Allen?
The Packers just... Whatever. Super Bowl champion Josh Allen. Although, Hank, would you say that you're not allowed at the Super Bowl, like, festivities if the Bills win? Or you know, we're not going to go to Buffalo, but the festivities of, like, being happy for Josh Allen?
Yeah, that's fair.
I think you've excluded yourself at this point?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I think that's fair, right?
Yeah.
Billy, where do you stand as a Jets super
fan? If we didn't play in the playoffs, it'd be a little bit different, but, you know, when you got to... You got to take out. I have nothing again. I'll say it again. Nothing against the Bills. Nothing against Bills fans. But you're in our way, and you're going to get run over.
Like
that's just how it goes. Doesn't matter what team it was.
If Josh wins the Super Bowl and then he comes in and he does his, you know, he probably goes on Fallon and then he comes here, I would expect you to be pouting the entire time.
Nah.
Come on.
Eh.
I think you got to.
In a wild card game.
Can you give us that?
No.
Half a pout?
We'll see.
You're pouting right now.
I'm not.
Just extend this pout.
PFT, telling me
pouting.
What my emotions are.
He's not pouting.
Mansplaining my emotions back to me. I'm not pouting. Listen, I'm not going to talk about the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about the divisional round. I'm not going to talk about the championship round. Wildcard round. That's all the focus is.
One game at a time.
One
How
game
excited
at a time.
Are you that it's Saturday night?
Very excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially because if you lose, people forget about it.
Yep.
That's actually
a very
nice bonus.
I'll have time to sleep on it, get my takes ready.
Yes.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's good
stuff. You never want to be.
Although we played the Colts on Saturday night, that sucked.
You also played. Didn't you play the Titans on Saturday night when Mike Vrabel figured out how to like delete 3 minutes of time from the clock?
Yeah, so maybe not.
Yeah, but you never want to be the last game on Sunday.
No.
And now obviously it's different with the Monday Night Football, but the last game on Sunday is usually the leading game in terms of what people are talking about.
For sure. Billy, where do you stand on Zach Wilson and your Jets?
The offseason will bring many truths. And Zach Wilson has gone 5 weeks in a row without throwing an interception.
He nice. Also just absolutely loves to drift 30 yards directly backfield and then throw the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, it's called extending the play.
Did he have like 90 yards today?
Look, he was balling. He's got no one on
no interceptions.
The balling.
No interceptions and no interceptions. Wait, there's one of those weeks, Mike White?
No.
Remember Mike White?
That was legendary.
That was so much fun. That little stretch.
That was weird.
That was a fun Mike White stretch. It was weird.
Mike White played good for like a half, then Joe Flacco's name got thrown around a little bit.
7 for 20 for 87 yards, but no interceptions.
He was balling.
He was balling. He was.
He had a like all supporting cast.
What happened?
Everyone was hurt.
Got it. I mean, yeah, I don't think you can judge any rookie quarterback like. You got to give him year two. Year two, if he progresses, that will tell you everything.
Exactly.
Putting Justin Fields in that camp, putting Zach Wilson, putting Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, look what happened to Tua this offseason.
He didn't throw a pick six today. So
yeah, Tua was on fire. Tua. So let's talk about that game.
I have one thing that will make you happy.
Yeah.
Talk about last game on Sunday, 2009. That was the Rodgers strip sack game against the Cardinals.
Oh, remember
that?
Yes.
That was awesome. 51-45.
That was an awesome game.
It ended the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
2018 was the double doink.
That was Saturday?
Yes. No, that was Sunday, last game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dolphins, Patriots. The Dolphins finish the craziest stat of all time. They go 9-0 against teams with starting quarterbacks with an O in their last name and 0-8 against teams with a starting quarterback without an O in their last name.
Mm.
It makes no sense. I wish we had gotten this NFL rigged beforehand, so we could have bet accordingly.
Their symbolism will be their downfall.
They did it. Expect us. 2-0.
So they also finally beat a good team.
Yes.
So this.
Well, they did beat them week one.
They beat them week one. What's up with Brian Flores being the only coach that can beat Bill Belichick consistently?
Yeah, they kind of have your number right now.
Just any Dolphins coach.
Yeah, but he in particular, what is he, 4-2?
He did coach there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Season sweep. Jalen Waddle had the rookie record for receptions. Any other thoughts from this game, Hank?
No, we're on to Buffalo. Regular season's over. The real season begins.
Did that reporter lady ask
no
what
one,
New Year's resolution was again?
Tell you this much. No one is like, no one's thinking the Pats are going to win this game based off the game against the Dolphins, which I like to be in that spot.
Right.
It's a shame they lost to the Titans. Obviously, the whole game plan would have changed.
He lost to the Jags. That's
yeah,
the
no,
shame.
The London game. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins, yet again, are the team that everyone's going to talk about next year, being like, look how they finished the season.
Get to some protection.
And I don't know if you...
Look out.
Yeah. I don't really know if you answered a lot of the questions.
Brian Flores,
no,
coach
I mean,
of the year?
At the midway point, this season was a disaster. They had all those picks last year.
Yeah. Jalen Waddle's awesome.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
He's fun.
So he broke Anquan Boldin's record for... I feel like every rookie wide receiver is just breaking every record.
Yeah, Jamar Chase.
I guess that's just what the NFL is now.
Yeah. But I always thought that Anquan Boldin record would be... I guess it did stand for a really long time.
Yeah.
But that was like an incredible season that he had.
Yep.
Especially considering how slow he was coming out of the draft. But yeah, Waddle also has the coolest new touchdown celebration.
By far.
More people should be doing the Waddle and fewer people should be doing the gritty. Because you can get injured doing the gritty.
Yeah, Adam Schefter. Shout out Adam Schefter. What all-time move getting injured doing that. Wait, did he not? He did break the record, right? I'm looking right now. It says he's got 99. Maybe he didn't. Maybe I have my facts wrong. Can you look that up for me, Jake? That would be embarrassing. Saints-Falcons. Do you think Drew Brees is a little bit happy?
Oh, of course.
I think he's
of course
really
he's
happy.
He finally gets to be like, hey, you remember how bad I sucked with my fucked up shoulder and 19 broken ribs? I'm still better.
Yeah.
I'm still better. Turns out Taysom Hill maybe, and Taysom Hill has been playing better recently, but Maybe having a quarterback whose job it is to run into the most violent members of the defense repeatedly during a game isn't really the best possible game plan for his longevity.
Yes, I'd agree. He did. He broke the record, 102 receptions. I looked it up. Last time the Saints missed the playoffs was 2016. They made it 8 out of the last 12 years that Drew Brees was there. He's got to be so pumped.
I mean, the real question is, do the Saints get the 1 seed overall if Jameis Winston doesn't get injured?
Yes.
I think definitely. Yes. I think they definitely do.
I hope Jameis gets the job. I really do.
I mean, who else could you possibly bring in to be better than Jameis?
They might draft someone. I don't know.
Yeah. Give Jameis another shot at it.
Yes.
Because they were a really good team at the start of the year.
Yeah. And till the end, they were the team. I think if you had to list the teams that didn't make the playoffs that teams wouldn't want to see in the playoffs, the Saints would be the top of the list.
I kept looking up this year, and somehow the Saints were still in the playoff picture. For the last like 6 weeks, I just constantly expected that they would be completely out of the equation for making the playoffs, and they almost did it.
They needed Kyle Shanahan's greatest comeback and Sean McVay's greatest lead blown to make the playoffs, to miss out on the playoffs. So they were that close. And then the Falcons, I mean, they're the best bad team in the world.
The perfect, they were the dividing line between good and bad.
They were incredible.
The thin blue line of the NFL.
An incredible team in terms of point differential. I'm pretty sure that they finished like almost dead last in point differential. And no, wait, I'm sorting it real quick. I just want to look at this. The Falcons finished fifth from last for point differential. They had 7 wins. Like, the teams around them in the point differential won 3 games or 4 games. And yeah. They've somehow managed to win 7.
Yeah, because they love getting the shit kicked out of them by great teams.
Yep. All right, last game. Bucks.
I did see that Matt Ryan is going to stick around next year.
Okay.
According to Arthur Smith.
There we go.
He said that was part of the deal when I took this job is I want at least 2 years of Matt Ryan. Yep.
I mean, if they get Calvin Ridley back and they draft well, I don't know. They could maybe go from being the best worst team to the worst best team.
Well, you could make the argument that a team that has that bad of a point differential that still manages to win 7 games, they're probably doing a lot of small things wrong or small things right.
Yeah.
Besides scoring points,
like beating the teams they should beat,
beating every team that you should beat, and then if you just increase if you decrease your points differential by 50 next year. Off that, you're probably winning 10, 11 games.
Yep. Perfect.
It's that simple. Just score 50 more points.
You got it. Last game.
Before we get to this next game.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Bucks, Panthers, Tom Brady is 44 years old, and he had the most passing yards of his career.
Yep.
43 touchdowns, second most touchdowns of his career.
And,
it's insane.
And some of the passes he was throwing today are not like washed passes.
No.
Just incredible passes.
It's crazy.
It is crazy what he's doing. It's also crazy that the Panthers continue to wear black jerseys because they went 0-7 in their black uniforms this year. Here's a fun stat. They're 3-21 since 2018 wearing their black jerseys.
Wow.
Just stop wearing those.
Someone's got to stop them.
Stop them.
Yes.
Change it, Matt Rhule. Everyone gets a smock.
All right. I'm very excited for the playoffs. We'll obviously talk playoffs all week.
Yeah.
Bob Saget died. That sucked.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
One other
really did suck.
One other
moment
thought,
of silence, real quick.
Okay.
Okay.
One other thought I had about Tom Brady going into this game was just that this game pretty much existed for Tom to try to get all of his players paid off their various incentives.
Yes.
There's no quarterback that knows exactly what has to happen, and he can go out there and still win a game and completely dominate another team while completing the exact correct amount of passes to Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, et cetera, et cetera.
Antonio Brown really fucked up.
Well, I actually do think that there's a chance that he thought that the season was over last week.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, Gronk got his seven. He needed seven, and I think he got his yards.
I think you could tell Tom Brady going into any game, like, all right, you're allowed to complete six. You have to complete six passes to Mike Evans, seven to Rob Gronkowski, and you have to attempt over 42 passes today. And but you have to hit those other numbers perfectly on the nose. I think that Brady could still probably win a majority of his games by double digits doing those things.
Yes, it'd probably be fun for him.
Yeah.
New challenge. Any other playoff things before we go to Football Guy of the Week and Who's Back of the Week? I'm just reading it again one last time. Hold on. Week 18 was awesome. Week 18 was awesome.
What do you think about Week 19 next year?
Week 19?
Add another game?
You want to fucking do it?
Let's get crazy with
it. We want to fucking do it? All right, here we go. Hold on one last time. The NFC and AFC playoffs are going to be so exciting because anybody can win. I can't wait until next weekend. It's beautiful.
Verbal retweet.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
R.I.P. Bob Saget.
R.I.P.
I feel like I moved on too flippantly from that.
That's okay.
He was a very funny guy.
Yes. I'm very sad about that. He's America's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny Tanner. Okay.
Trey Wingo.
Let's go to Football Guy of the Week and wrap up the show. Billy, Football Guy of the Week. This is the last Football Guy of the Week. I think that with the playoffs, you'll probably run out of material.
Yeah.
So this will be it. This is the last Football Guy of the Week. Did you see, by the way, Nick Saban's cool guy jacket?
Yes.
I liked it. Did you
No, what's he wearing?
He was wearing like a cool leather jacket getting off the plane. And Nick Saban, you know, like it was like an Indiana Jones jacket.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really dress up, but he did give us this quote, which I loved. Hold on, I'll play it for everyone here. Okay.
Well, I think the most important thing is you got to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yep.
That's it. Yep, you got to keep the main thing the main thing.
Don't overthink it.
That's
keep
it.
The main thing the main
thing. The most important thing is to keep the main thing the main thing.
So I said this privately to you guys, but I feel like I should tell the AWLs this too, just in case I had a premonition. Because I had a dream. I dreamt about the national championship game. And it was a very clear, vivid dream. I never remember my dreams. The final score was 30-21 Alabama. So I'm going to bet that exact same. I'm going to bet that kind of the spread. At an alternate line,
yep.
At 11, I feel good about it. I don't know if I can trust my own brain sometimes, but okay. I feel like when I turn my brain off, that's when I do my best thinking.
You got to also remember you're on Billy's pills.
I am on Billy's pills.
So that could have affected
that's,
that.
That's another fire fest that I've got going on.
Yeah, your sleep could have, who knows what's happening. Like
my body is
you're literally under
up.
The influence at all times.
Billy has destroyed my body. My prostate is just out of control right now. I'm peeing every 20 minutes, and Billy told me that he might have given me cancer from his pills.
Yeah.
I hope not.
That's cool. Fun little wrinkle one week in.
Yeah.
What's the worst could happen? Oh, prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
By far one of the worst cancers.
My job was to raise his testosterone, and an enlarged
prostate
job
accomplished.
Job done.
Is a sign that your testosterone is pretty high right now.
That I'm pissing more?
No, because your prostate's gigantic.
Enlarged.
My prostate's got gains, too.
Swole.
Everything's increasing.
All right, Football Guys of the Week.
Congratulations to last week's penultimate 2021 season Football Guy of the Week, Joe Burrow.
Okay.
He just didn't have his nameplate. Football guy, playing for the name on the front. Our first nominee for this week is Robert Quinn, outside linebacker, Chicago Bears. When asked about his courtesy towards the media, Robert Quinn quotes what he says is a familiar saying, a man's got two things, his word and his nuts, and you don't want to lose either.
That's three things, though. Unless you're Lance Armstrong.
Correct.
Number two is John Brown. Equinemius and Amon Ross St. Brown's father, who was just sporting his dope half and half jersey, which was actually sick because the
it wasn't like a traditional half and half where it's just split down the middle. He had like the breastplate was Lions and the sleeves were Packers. So credit to him for doing something new with an old, like we saw, you know, the first one I remember was obviously Brady Quinn's sister who was dating AJ Hawk, right? Did I have that right?
Yep.
And she had the half and half Notre Dame, Ohio State. He did something cool with it.
So I think that the way they had it set up was John was wearing one of the jerseys and then his wife was wearing a different one. So they took two jerseys and they cut out like the middle part of it.
Oh, nice.
And then they swapped and then they stitched it together.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Wild too.
Mm-hmm.
That he was watching both his sons.
He is like an all-time great namer of his children.
Yes.
Equinemius and Amon Ra.
Yes.
Our third nominee is Hunter Lupke, fullback, yeah. North Dakota State.
This motherfucker.
Basically, he had a wide open path to the end zone on a run, And instead of just running in the wide open path to get to the end zone and score a touchdown, he decided to avert his like route to the end zone to run someone over to get into the end zone.
I love it.
That's the old Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons, making sure to knock everybody over. This motherfucker, Hunter Lepke, I love him, but I hate him. He's the Majestic Beast. That's what they call him, which is an all-time fullback name. And he single-handedly destroyed JMU in the semifinals after we didn't include him in the Lowman Awards. That was an oversight on our part in retrospect. Like, yes, he should have been on that list. But, yeah, North Dakota State, they weren't – nobody was beating them.
He also leg-dabbed in the end zone.
Yeah.
Oh. Leg-dabbed. Okay, that's pretty cool. Flexibility.
Our fourth nominee is Jonathan Smith, the head coach at Oregon State. So after the season, he just cartoon-style dynamite box – like with the lever, blew up his stadium.
Very cool.
Demolished
cool.
it.
Very cool. They got a new stadium coming in Corvallis.
Was it actually him pushing the lever?
Yes.
Or was it like or was it like a fake one that they told him was going to blow it up?
No, I think it was him. It was the whole video.
Straight up, like I didn't even know that's how they do it anymore.
It was very cool.
And
I think that's one of those things that like they can't even like technology. It's sometimes nice to know that like technology can't even fix like the Bugs Bunny TNT box. It's just nice, you know what I mean, to know that that still happens.
Cartoon
and don't lines. Anyone ruin it for me if that's not how it works.
And our old school football guy of the week is a story of the Patriots general manager Pat Sullivan in 1986. Got hit in the face by Raiders linebacker Matt Millen with his helmet. And, you know, it's a better visual. Check it out on the blog. But this general manager just ran on the field to talk shit and got absolutely pummeled by this Raiders linebacker.
Yeah, Matt Millen continues to be the coolest guy ever.
Yeah, he's just sitting in
keep him away from your front office.
He's sitting in a barn somewhere just chopping wood for no reason in a flannel at all times.
Probably just wrestling a cow.
Yeah, thinking about wide receivers he wants to draft. Okay, good job, Billy. Before we get to who's back of the week, PFT, you got one last ad?
Yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, let's wrap up. We got who's back of the week. Hank, who's back of the week?
My who's back of the week is Clay Thompson.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Overshadowed by Sunday Night Football.
He was overshadowed by Sunday Night Football, although they did a pretty heavy ceremony. A lot of people were paying his respects. Some people, there's some sabermetrics that came out about Bitcoin. I'm trying to pull them up real quick.
Okay.
If you could just filibuster for a second.
Yeah, who's a better pure shooter, Clay or Steph? When you throw the word pure in there, you can literally make up anything that you want.
Yeah, you can. I'm going to still go with Steph. It was crazy because it was Clay's first game in their new arena. That was kind of a fun thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. Because they opened it, I think, last year. He hasn't played
in 2 years.
He's
been out. Yeah, he's been on a little Michael Thomas type.
It's crazy. It sucks. I love Clay. I really do. It's crazy. I mean, we talked about Russillo on Friday. Let me know, Hank, whenever you're ready. But we talked about it with Russillo on Friday.
Got it.
The best free agent acquisition is the Warriors getting Clay.
Clay Thompson.
They picked him up off waivers.
Impact.
This was just so. Yeah, obviously, a lot of people were excited. Clay's coming back. One of the best pure shooters back in the game.
Yeah, maybe the best.
You know, hard injury, tougher
than argument.
People are just happy for the game. And one former esports contributor of this show brought to the point that if you bought 50 Bitcoin the moment Klay Thompson got hurt in game 6 of the finals and sold it this morning at 9:30 a.m. on the day he makes return, you made a $1.67 million profit.
Damn. So, that's crazy how time works.
Yeah, and Bitcoin has gone up. You could just be like, Bitcoin's gone up.
No, it's just fun. You know, it's always a fun thing to do.
Who's the former?
Just shove it in everyone's face, like, haha, you could have had all this money.
Who's the former esports contributor?
Oh, we don't say his name.
Yeah.
To this show?
Well, you ducked him in a fight, so we don't say his name.
Oh, that motherfucker.
Yeah, yes.
I didn't duck shit.
Okay, thank you, Hank. Good job. Good who's back.
Thank you.
Clay Thompson. Back. PFT.
My who's back of the week is Todd Haley.
Yes.
Todd Haley. He's been gone for too long. We finally got him verified on Twitter. That was a major win for some of us out there. But he's coaching in the USFL. They announced their coaches. Big names would be Kevin Sumlin.
Okay.
He's going to coach for Houston. And then Todd Haley. Obviously, he's coaching Tampa Bay. So he's already gone out and made an offer to Antonio Brown to give him a roster spot on the Tampa Bay Bandits.
So when is this?
It's never going to happen, probably.
When are they supposed to be playing?
I think March or April.
I'm booked with March Madness.
The only way that this succeeds is give Trump a team again and then do Hard Knocks on Donald Trump's team.
Yeah, and then it'll be
April
like
16th.
April 16th?
So right after March Madness.
Day after tax day. Perfect.
Okay.
Masters,
that's also like right around when NBA and NHL playoffs start.
All I want from
I think they have 1 week. I think they have one
week,
that I'll pay attention.
Yeah, all I want from this league is to give me a very exciting week one and maybe have one sort of new technology that they debut that gets instantly swallowed up by the NFL next season.
Yes.
That's what we're looking for.
I also would like that. All right, my who's back of the week is Game of the Years. I'm taking Georgia.
Even though I dreamed,
this is such a mistake.
Well, I dreamed
Billy
a dream.
Pills, I don't believe it.
What about the first game of the year, Big Cat?
Billy's putting pills into your brain to give us false flags and lead us astray
and ruin the podcast.
Us. Yes. Yeah.
I gotta say something, Big Cat. I haven't said this to you off the record, but I've been thinking about it for a while. I was with you on the first game of the year.
Well, no, you weren't, Pitt.
Okay. All right. All I'm gonna say is that after the Georgia the game of the year,
yeah.
You've been chasing. Yeah. You have been chasing. You,
I won
these
my
are
game
not
of the year.
Real games of the
no,
year.
No, they are.
You're
no,
addicted
I love
to
Georgia.
Calling things
I
game
love
of the year.
I love Georgia.
No, you lost
a
game of the year. You're 1-1.
No.
And you knew you had to get a game of the year in before the year ended. So you came up with the game of the year. And then
yeah, that
now
one
you're
was,
coming
that
up with this
was,
game of the year because you're addicted
on,
to games of the
hold
year.
Hold on.
This isn't actually a game of the year.
Okay.
You want to call it a game of the year.
Time out. You're right about
that. And I believed you with Georgia and I won't do it again.
Hold on. Time out. You're right about the Michigan game. That was the total, like, it's the last day of the year. Utah, I loved all bowl season. It was my mortal lock when we did the Pick'em
mortal
episode.
Lock, which is different from a game of the
yes,
year.
Yes, it okay. is. It's on Pick'em. I made a mortal lock of Utah 3 weeks before the Rose Bowl. I then upgraded it to my game of the year. Yeah, it's thrilling to have game of the
year.
Wait,
is this your second Georgia game of the year?
No, that was last year.
Yeah,
this is my second game of the year this year.
Okay, got it.
It's thrilling.
I love how,
sorry.
I love
sue
how,
me.
I love it. I love how Hank just explained the bit. Big Cat, I'm a little worried because
no,
like, you
like,
that
yes.
more than one game of the years, even
right.
though it's supposed to be one game per year.
No,
well, I believed.
This
sorry,
is my
sorry.
Second.
It was real to me, and
well,
it no longer
you missed the first
is.
Game of the year.
I guess.
And you missed the first game of the year again this year. 2022 is going to be the year of game of the years. I'm just saying it right now.
What year is it in the lunar calendar coming up? Is it the pig this year?
I don't know. 2022 is going to be the year of the game of the years. Georgia -2.5, I've decided. This is breaking news. Game of the year.
I'm rolling with PFT in his dream.
Okay.
There we go.
Great. I'm so excited for my game of the year.
I have a dream, baby.
I have a stat for you.
Roll
you
Tide.
For this stat?
Nick
no
Saban.
No one believes
ball
in
ball sack lives on Kirby Smart's face.
No one.
Alabama-Georgia will be the fifth time teams have met twice in the same season with both meetings being AP top five matchups. The loser of the first game won the rematch in all four previous instances.
It's tough to beat Kirby Smart
right,
twice
actually,
in a year.
I'm just going
to
bet the
they
over.
They always say that.
Okay,
you're
so
in my
just
head.
Bet the over.
You're
all right, there you go. That's fine. I respect that. But let me have my game of the year.
Go for
Could
it.
Could you imagine
I'm,
going 2-0 in game of the year?
I don't want to sound like a hater. I'm just worried about your own. I'm just trying to like make sure you don't get in, you know, in too deep. And then
I'm already 1-0 in game of the year.
Yeah,
so
you're stuck.
I'm cool.
You're stuck in a hole you can't
Listen,
get out of.
And yes, if I lose this game of the year, I will not have game of the year records in my Twitter bio. That's that easy.
People will ask for it
and I'll say it's not
but
there.
But then you'll
anymore.
Have a game of the year on like Friday just to go 2-0.
No. Wait, Saturday maybe because it's the playoffs. Saturday. Possibly. Undecided.
You also get to do a game of the year in any sport, too. You can have your NBA game of the year.
Any
college basketball game. Your ACC game of the year.
If I want to do 365 game of the years, I'll fucking do it, okay?
It's the year of the games.
It's the year of the game of the years. Georgia -2.5, game of the year. I'm so excited. Billy.
Real quick, Chinese New Year, it's going to be the year of the tiger.
That's a tiger just going out and
it.
Getting the game of the years.
You know what a tiger is? It's a big cat.
Yes, it's my year.
Boom.
It is literally my year.
Wait, it's also Tiger as in like Tiger Woods, too.
Right. And what did he win? Game of the years all the time. Masters,
match
heard
of
it?
Year, yeah.
That's a game of the year.
Round of the year.
Boom. Just don't let me get behind a Buick. Okay.
My who's back is the Manning cast curse. It is officially undefeated on the year.
Did Roger Goodell die?
No.
Fuck.
But Aaron Rodgers went on week 17, and the Packers lost to the Lions. So week one, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that's true.
No,
Russell Wilson, they all lost the week after they appeared.
Okay.
Are they doing a Manning cast this weekend?
For the Monday night game?
I doubt it. So. It's set on the year.
They should have had one on Saturday.
No Manning
night,
cast, but they're doing one of those mega casts where it's like every ESPN-owned channel is like...
You'd be a psycho to watch the Manning cast during a playoff game. Yeah. Like, you got to soak in a playoff game.
Definitely. And who are they getting for the mega cast, though? You got to bring Urban Meyer back.
No, I was talking about tomorrow's
Jake?
Championship.
Oh. Yeah. Jake. Got it. Yeah.
So when we're... Bill Walton's on like peyote and
right. Mm-hmm. And they just roll everyone out and
I'll have to double check on the playoff.
I actually like watching that one.
Oh, when they get all the coaches in
when
the room,
it's like eight people. Like yeah, like,
that's what they'll have tomorrow. I'm pretty sure.
And half of them are still hoping they get like big time jobs, so they're just not giving away their secrets. Like,
oh, Jimbo Fisher in the film room.
Oh, there we go.
Let's get Coach O in there too.
Jimbo knows them both. Okay. Jake, your who's back of the week?
Well, my who's back of the week, kind of on the same topic, is A-Rod.
Yes.
Baseball is doing the same thing with Sunday Night Baseball, and A-Rod and Michael Kay will be on the ESPN 2 cast.
It's going to be so good.
The one thing I always say about baseball is I wish there was a second broadcast where I could hear people talk more.
Well, no, listen, the sequel's always better than the original.
Especially when you have a personality like... Alex Rodriguez,
this is good.
I could listen to him read the phone book.
This is going
to
be really good.
I wonder which guest they'll get on every week.
Just Ben Affleck? Just have him
watch
Ben?
Watch it. Watch it. Yeah. Relax.
Just talking chicks?
It's a little alternative way to watch Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah.
If you're a Yankees fan, I'm sure it'll be great.
It's going to be awesome. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
Good job, Jake.
Thanks.
Bench Mob, who's on this week?
Will Wade.
Oh, nice.
LSU. Anyone you guys else? Are an LSU
seat stealer.
Big Cats coming on Thursday.
Okay. All right. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Good.
We'll wait on today's episode Thursday, Big Cats to talk Wisconsin.
Are you worried about that?
I'm not worried. I've been transparent the whole time. Okay. I was wrong in the beginning of the season.
A lot of hate.
No, Jake, you can't back. You were right at the time.
Fair.
But he could have been a thought leader.
He could have.
But I could have been.
He could have dragged his nuts across Joe Lunardi's face.
Yes, of bracketology. Bracketology, you're a weatherman. You're saying what temperature it is outside right now, not what you think it's going to be in a week.
Right.
But the preseason one, you can kind of take some shots.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's okay.
Learning lesson.
Yeah, you could have dunked on Joe Lunardi.
Could have.
You could have. That would have probably been your big break.
It's all right.
Actually, you already had your big break when you came in with those clammy hands and you shook our hands with the suit.
Didn't hurt.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
That was still power move. Jake coming in with a suit. All right, numbers.
You mean 8?
44.
22. Everything's back in there.
Give me 2 8s.
22.
As in 88.
Give me an 8, 8, 8.
88 degrees.
The pool.
The pool.
That's the pool where we hung out with Tom Kennedy.
Danny.
39. Danny, I thought it too. I thought it was. 39.
Fifth time.
Love you guys. Dinosaurs are sick.
Oh.
Billy.
God damn.
Come on, Billy.
Keep that in.
You're all the things I've got to remember. Keep shining away. Love is coming for you anyway. Keep shining away. Love is coming for you anyway.